podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, I feel like Rude's arm is like it was shaking both for the forehand and the smash.
Yeah.
But he put it away.
Still, you know, did a pretty good job on the smashes. Safe yeah. enough, but safe, also exactly. powerful enough. Avoided the Mare Kokkinakis point. I think it was Josef Kovalik as well today, earlier in the split final, who lost a point like this against Jombor Piroš.
Ooh. Another right. backhand miss.
Match two point.
Enforcers this game.
And a very loud cheer for Tsitsipas. Just yeah. turned the volume on. I'm surprised, yeah.
Maybe they love him in Monte Carlo now.
I think they do. He gets good crowd support here.
Yeah, usually. I think so.
This one in Australia, he's very popular there too. It's a very good return. Let's see if it amounts to. Wow, he does it.
Nice.
That was really a great match point by him. And yeah, it means a lot to him.
All the best for the clay court season. Do well, huh? To Root. Yeah. Goes there jumping. Wow, what a result for him.
Yeah, that was such a great performance.
Oh my God, the father's still talking. The match is over. He's still explaining something to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he gained so much confidence during the week, and a lot of the final was kind of based on that for sure. The backhand is pretty solid for the most part. Like, you know, it's not a massive weakness on clay. Definitely not. And yeah, all in all, so maybe let's come back to that question from earlier. Where do they sort of stack up in terms of the contenders for the rest of the clay season? Let's not only talk about Roland Garros, just, yeah, Madrid, Rome, the big events remaining on clay. Are they in the same tier, or is Tsitsipas like firmly ahead because of what we saw today? And where and how close is Tsitsipas now to the top three as well? That's another question.
He has to be in the top four favorites now for the rest of the clay season, right? Like at least fourth. So I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah, and fairly close to third as well with center three.
Yeah, I agree. I think this puts him like right there, like ahead of Zverev, maybe some other guys. Like the other, like the top three are, I have no idea how they're going to do on this clay season, especially Djokovic. Usually if it was like 2 years ago, I would be like, yeah, he did two semifinals, but that doesn't mean anything. He's going to, you know, find his Grand Slam level back. But this year, I don't know. Even Ivanisevic was saying in his interview, like it's not as easy for him to come back after long stretches of not playing. Mm-hmm. And he did have an amazing match against Novak at the French. Alcaraz, I don't think so. Like probably, yeah, number four seed and number four favorite, like you're saying.
I mean, but if he keep this up, like let's say he wins Barcelona next week. Yeah, now you can talk about maybe putting him third. I don't know.
Yeah, what he does in Rome maybe is gonna make
maybe Rome actually, because Sinner is not playing Barcelona.
Yeah, he said something controversial with that Sinner definitely number three, I think. Like I don't think that's super clear. But yeah, to me still far away from the top three, but clearly he's the best out of the rest currently. Like over Zverev, you can't really make the argument. Probably after Monte Carlo, you can't make the argument with Rune yet, at least. Maybe he keeps getting better during the clay season. Rude, I thought maybe there was an argument, but this was not a convincing match from Casper whatsoever. Like, I just feel like if he runs into one of these guys in the final of whatever, of Madrid, Rome, Roland Garros, I don't know. He just doesn't scream, you know, confidence in these moments. And I don't think he fully played his game today. Obviously, yeah. Stefanos was really good. And yeah, he gained confidence during the week. Absolutely. That was like sort of the best that we've seen from him in ages. But yeah, I mean, Casper was definitely kind of out there. And for at least a set and a half, well, let's say at least a set, had no idea what he was doing whatsoever. And then after that, it still was like a little, well, unclutch and just overall not that impressive. You couldn't see that more aggressive edge he's going for. You couldn't really see much invention from him.
Yeah.
Much like the other big matches that he played before.
Yeah, and he missed 5 break points in a second, which could have, you know, changed the match maybe for him. But even if he won very comfortably today, I think my answer to your question would be the same. Like, I don't think, like, with that backhand, it's very hard for him to contend against the top guys. But Tsitsipas, yes, like, he has done it before, and he has more than his forehand as a weapon. And it looks like a lot of burden is off his shoulders now. He was crying just now on the bench. So I think we might see, like, the old guy come back, old Stefanos. Let's see.
Pretty ironic that you said about Ruud with that backhand. He cannot contend with the top guys because, like, the last 12 months or so, that's what everyone's been saying about Tsitsipas, right? But yeah, today, I mean, there was one guy who had a pretty mediocre average backhand, not really doing anything, and the other who had pretty much the same amount of errors, but was actually also able to produce aggressive shots off it and good returns a lot of the time.
But when it mattered in the last game, it fell apart a bit. But yeah, those winners were surprising to me. Yesterday as well against Djokovic, today as well, he hit some amazing backhand.
Oh, I was actually talking about Tsitsipas. In my analogy, the guy with the mediocre shot today was Ruud, and the one who actually was able to produce something was Tsitsipas. Yeah, that was what I was going for.
Yeah, he definitely got the better of the backhand duels.
And that's something we were not expecting, probably, given our post-match talk yesterday. But again, there weren't any backhand-to-backhand rallies, really. So,
yeah,
that pattern couldn't really show up. It's, well, both players kind of had it their way, but Ruud wasn't able to utilize it in any way. Kosti, what's that question about exactly? Is this good for Monte Carlo? Is this a good conclusion for the tournament? You know, tournament would have enjoyed the Djokovic Sinner final more, but like Tsitsipas winning it, clearly a big hero in that at that venue. I think it's perfectly fine. Yeah.
And it felt like the climax was yesterday. Both matches were very exciting yesterday, and this today, it's a bit of a downer, but they seem to enjoy the second set.
Some other comments in the chat. Ghibli saying that Holger can lift his game to be a threat in that Steph Casper Zverev, maybe Daniel group. Yeah, possibly. I mean, to me, he's pretty much in that Casper Zverev group, but not with Steph at the moment, it seems.
Yeah, maybe for now, Steph has separated himself from those four guys.
Ghibli with this comment as well. I'm not. Yeah, nothing to add, really. That's a good summary. Isn't it easier to protect the backhand than the forehand, like Coco? That's an interesting question, although I'm not sure why it would be easier, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, it is easier track, because not many players hit backhands inside out and stuff. But like, if you do, if you're like Richard Gasquet, for example,
yeah,
they're probably gonna be fine. But I guess it's more rare, yeah, to have that for sure.
Yeah. Number 7 in the world.
I should do the same.
You didn't inspire only me, or actually Ghosty inspired me, but yeah. You inspired Ghosty to eat a turkey sandwich or a turkey.
Maybe you could eat a turkey kebab, the combo.
I'll think about it. Mustard and Swiss cheese as well. Okay. On rye. Well, that's some very interesting eating choices. Yeah, do we have anything else we need to touch on? Before we close the stream, the big stories were yesterday, I guess. Today, the big story is Stefanos Tsitsipas, 3 ATP 1000 titles, 3 in Monte Carlo.
Yeah, 3 Monte Carlo titles. That's more than Djokovic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. That's 3 more than Federer, definitely.
It ties in with Thomas Muster, Ilan Nastasi, and Bjorn Borg.
And does anyone else have, you know, more than them but less than Rafa?
No.
Okay. Wow. So basically, very soon he could be, like next year, he could be the second best Monte Carlo player ever.
Yeah, like he's the Monte Carlo prince. He's the prince of the principality. How about that?
Nicola Pietrangeli, pre-open era, also won it 3 times. And pre-open era, also some people like in the 1910s and in the 1900s? No, that doesn't make sense. That would be for the whole century. Anyway, never mind. There's a couple of guys who actually have like 5, 6, 4, but ever since tennis became, let's say post-World War II tennis, he is actually the second best right now, along with some people, but he might be the third best. Might be the second best if he wins one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get too involved in that list of previous winners. We might be talking about that forever then. And I guess it's going to be it then. Thank you guys for the stream. Thank you to everyone in the chat as well. Hope you guys
had fun.
Yes, Nurlan, for you, I will address that fact. By the way, Kokal, do you know Nurlan? Because I think he lives in Turkey as well.
No, I don't know him.
Country. It's such a small country, you know. you might know him. Why not? 20 million people, I mean, in Istanbul alone.
Yeah.
I don't know if he lives in Istanbul, though. But he is a star of our chat, for sure. And nice. Yeah, it's a shame that he came at the end. You didn't get to see like the whole Nurlan experience. Once again, thank you guys, and I guess we'll be wrapping up, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Sports Social Podcast Network.